Hi, this is Paul Martin. We're doing a garden at Chelsea Flower Show this year, and you're listening to The Sod Show.
<laughs> 103.2 Dublin City FM, Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
We're at 3.2 Dublin City FM. It is The Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan coming up on today's show. Peter will be meeting Irish garden designer Paul Martin, who's building at RHS for the RHS Flower Show coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And that's coming up right after you hear how to get in touch with us. And that is via Twitter at Sod Show, on Facebook, The Sod Show, and email during the week, info@sodshow.com. Podcast available tea time Friday in all good podcast outlets. Now let's get to the outdoors. And Peter Donegan is talking with Paul Martin.
Right, how do I start this one? I don't know. This is really unusual because I stumbled across a photograph from about 10 years ago this year, and it's myself and a couple of other gardeners, and we're in the Phoenix Park, and in that photograph is the guy sitting beside me, Paul Martin. So it's kind of, how do I say it? I won't say we grew up together, because I think you're a little bit older than me.
Slightly,
yeah. But we built our first Irish show gardens, real show gardens, together in 2007, I think it was.
Yeah. And that was the first year of the show, in the old wall garden in the Phoenix Park. And since then, the gardens have been moved outside.
Did you build gardens before then?
Yes, the first RHS garden we did was in 2002 in Tatton Park. And then we did Chelsea the next year in 2003. And then I did Garden Heaven in the RDS 2004, 2005. Then I went to Hampton Court 2006, and then went to Bloom 2007.
So you're kind of like, there's a door knock. We'll just let them come in and we'll just talk away. So that's tea and coffee. Yeah, come on in, mate. Don't worry about it. What age were you when you built your first show garden?
I'm not sure. Probably 30s, late 30s.
Why did it take so, I won't say so long, but why did it, you know, a lot of people I hear, like the James Wongs of this world, and they kind of doing it at 7 years of age nearly at this stage, yes, of the game, but you get what I'm saying.
But in Ireland, those facilities didn't exist. Like, there was one in Kilmainham, and I would have been too young for that one. So it was a different time, you know, before the shows became a big deal in Ireland. Probably was from 2004 on.
So what was Paul Martin's very first garden as Paul Martin Designs, or was it Paul Martin Landscaping?
No, it was landscaped. I went over from Ireland, drove over in a van to Tatton Park, built the garden myself. It was a small garden, back-to-back, I think they were called in those days. And there were four gardens, you know, in a corner each. And that's where I met the manager of the show then, was a man called Max de Soissons, who later then became the marketing manager for the RHS. And then he had a sponsor for Hampton Court, and he introduced me to Vestrawealth. So me getting the 5 years with Vestrawealth between Hampton and Chelsea actually started Tatton Park in 2002.
We'll get to Vestrawealth. I love the way you dropped that name in, because normally you have to say to people, would you like to mention, you know, your sponsors? We'll get to them and how fantastic they are in just a little bit. But let's backtrack to what everybody would know as kind of like Sideshow Bingo, which is Peter and his grifter and compost and growing plants under my bed and all that stuff. What was the first plant you grew? What age were you? Did you goof around in the garden? Were your parents farmers? Did you hug trees in your sleep?
Well, my grandfather and his brother were very good gardeners. And I was the eldest grandson, and they used to be on the committee of the Dundalk Show, which was a big deal in its day. Dundalk at the time would have had a lot of very big companies like PJ Carroll's and Harp Lager and Clark Shoes. So when the show was on, which was horse and horticulture as well, McGreedy's roses used to come down from Northern Ireland and put on a huge display. Because I was the eldest grandson, they used my name in competitions. So the first competition I did, technically, I was five. And then when I got to eight, I decided I was going to do it on my own. And went out on my own at that stage and started growing my own stuff and competing against them and their friends who were in their 70s and 80s at that stage. So I was doing garden shows since I was eight.
Okay, right. Okay, so we're kind of slightly on par, but you were on Top of the Pops before I was, in a sense. So I did my first garden at 10. I was goofing around growing plants at probably 5, 6. So our journeys are similar but different, but you did the UK thing first. Let me backtrack here, because last week we were supposed to meet and something you said, if you don't mind me saying this, and you said, right, and you said to me this evening as well, I just got to go make dinner for the mammy and I'll talk to you in a little bit. Mom, I gather, is obviously extremely proud of what you're doing. Yeah. And that's a huge thing for an Irish son, to be quite honest.
Yeah. So I would stay as many days as I can with them, and the same in Dublin as well, where I have my own place. So I just, they're both, daddy's actually 80 in 2 days' time, so I like to be around.
Jeepers. And does Mam have all the now paper clippings of you? Which she'll obviously be tuned in and listen to this as well. And if I say anything bad about you, she's going to knock down on my door and give me what's for.
Absolutely. Like a good Dundalk mammy, yeah.
What's Dundalk like for those outside of Ireland listening to this?
Dundalk is a town that's just about 5 or 6 miles short of the border with Northern Ireland. So it's a town that every maybe 10 years fluctuates between having money and not having money, depending on what way the currency travels. So, you know, sometimes the southerners are going up to the north, and then the next 10 years it's the northerners coming down to the south. So as a breed, we're probably quite adept at having to deal with situations when they arise.
What's the horticulture and landscaping industry, or the landscape design industry, like? So let me go back. There was a thing throughout the 80s in particular where, well, at least when I was growing up, you were kind of, it was kind of drilled into you, you know, get yourself a proper job. And a proper job was in the bank, or it was a teacher, or it was a guard, or a policeman for those outside of Ireland. But along those lines, there wasn't really a career in horticulture for somebody like me. I mean, I'm probably the only person I know in Portmarnock and North County Dublin who went to study horticulture, and at that there were only 26 people in my year studying horticulture in year one and 20 in year two. So for you and Dundalk, I would gather it was that multiplied by maybe a little bit more in ratio. So when you turn around to Mom and said, now I know the show garden background or the growing roses stuff, but did your mates where you were growing up, did the hometown, did they kind of pause doing, he wants to do what? Is he okay? Does he need help?
Well, it was the first year in secondary school. And remember, at the end of first year, you had to have your meeting with your career guidance teacher, and then you explained what you wanted to do. And my dad was a teacher. So when I told the career guidance teacher that I wanted to go to the Botanic Gardens and do horticulture, he told me that that was madness and that I would be a teacher. Right. So in year two, when I went for the next interview, he asked me what I wanted to be. I said I was going to be a teacher. So I learned to keep my opinions to myself for the next year or two until I got out and went and did horticulture in the Botanic Gardens.
What was the process like to get in there, do you remember?
At the time, there was a grant and it was like a scholarship. I did the Leaving Cert, which is, I think it's like the A-levels in England, at 17, which is quite young, and won a scholarship to, and it was about the same, 24 in our year. So it was quite a small class, roughly one per county. I had designed two or three gardens, and the neighbour beside me was a photographer. So I had the gardens photographed as I was doing them. So when I went for the interview for ACOT at the time, I could produce a portfolio of gardens that I'd already done and photographed. So that helped.
And knowing somebody who developed photographs back way back then, yeah, that was huge.
That was huge, yeah. And I did his garden. So I probably did his garden when I was 15.
Okay. I mentioned to one or two people that Paul was coming on the sideshow. And I mentioned, obviously, that I knew you. And I think to be fair, as we kind of chatted, you'd know me, and I obviously know you, and I enjoy working extremely hard at what I do for a living, make no bones about that, all jokes aside. But I also enjoy, let's say, the more social elements of life as well. So when I said that you were coming on, there was a, what kind of stuff are you going to drag out of him? What are you going to get? And I said, I don't know. Paul. He's everything he does is pristine. We'll get, again, on a garden level, we'll get to that in a bit. But were you a troublemaker growing up? Were you a dosser?
I definitely wasn't a troublemaker, but what I would have learned from my father was that you did everything properly. And I wouldn't have had a tolerance of teachers or lecturers that didn't do their job properly. Mm-hmm. And even in the Botanic Gardens, that would have annoyed me if somebody was in for the pension rather than in to teach students properly. That would have annoyed me. Yeah. So I wouldn't have caused trouble unless I felt somebody wasn't doing their job properly.
I'll rephrase that. Would I find you on a rare but random Saturday night in Dundalk swinging out of a chandelier with a bottle of champagne in your hand doing that kind of a thing, or climbing the walls in Dano's nightclub in Tipperary or something like that?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Were you a nightclub kind of a fella? Did you do that kind of scene? Did you go for a pint?
I prefer food rather than... I do like drink, yes. But I do like restaurants, and I would eat. And I have very good friends that are good chefs. So I'd eat well and eat in good restaurants and eat and work for a lot of hotels as a result and a lot of restaurants. And at the minute we're designing a roof garden for a restaurant in Charlotte Street in London for a Michelin star, a Dublin chef who's London's youngest Michelin star chef. So as a result of me liking food and going to good restaurants, I do get good hotels and restaurants to do.
I'm beginning to gather that horticulture is a little bit, I know it's my life, but I'm beginning to gather that it's yours.
Absolutely.
Without question.
Absolutely, yeah. What would have been difficult in Ireland, say 20 or 30 years ago, because Ireland was a different place then. It was a colder place. I'm not saying more dictatorial, but there was more control issues as regards whether it was the church or state. So you did toe the line regardless of what you did. And people now are softer people. They're probably more into the arts, or they're more into gardens or fine food. But that really wasn't the case before. It was probably more survival before. And the money wasn't there for luxuries like, and garden design or gardens can be a luxury. The design and more so than gardens.
Let's go sidetracking here slightly. Things that get in your nerves in garden design. I'll start it off with Logroll.
Oh, God. I do like plants to be used properly, and I would probably push clients to go for a larger size of plants rather than smaller. I like to get good quality plants, and that's one thing I do like. I don't like sometimes what the landscapers have a tendency to do is price jobs, and then when they get the job, they use smaller size plants and don't actually deliver what they had priced before. I don't agree with that at all.
When was the last time you used decking? Do you use decking? Do you do that kind of stuff?
Decking we would use from time to time. We have a job, for example, in South Africa, and because the weather is drier there, you can get away with decking. Ireland is a problem for decking because it can be so damp. Less you use and maybe the artificial decking, which now has come on a lot. Lighting has to be done well, and sometimes it's really bad. And I mean, I don't like a garden lit with blue lights. It looks like the inside of an Electrolux fridge. Terrible, terrible.
Solar lights from a petrol station there as well.
It's a hobby that we have to encourage people to do. So I wouldn't be black and white as regards, you know, because somebody plants, say, a line of pink petunias, that they're not necessarily fashionable. But what was fashionable 20, 30 years ago was a line of pink petunias. So everything changes. Everything's in flux. People's time now is more reduced. So they're quite conscious of, and more honest as regards, say, coming to me as a designer to say, listen, I really only have 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday to maintain this. So if you are designing a garden, I don't want grand herbaceous borders. I want to be able to have something that you can say to me with a list that I want certain plants to be pruned at certain times of the year. And they know from a list, say, for example, I've given them at the end of the job what has to be done at what times of the year. So the garden still looks smart, but it's not too intense that they can't actually maintain it. Because the problem that I foresee or see coming down the tracks is that there's a lot of us designing very nice gardens, but there aren't actually a lot of gardeners to maintain them. Everybody wants to be a garden designer, but nobody wants to be a gardener.
Yeah, but in reality, people can call themselves garden designers, but the only people I know who, well, I know very few in Ireland who actually only do that for a living, as in, you know, I got a splinter from a pencil full time. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody I would know is pretty much hands-on. They're the Darren Jacques of this world. They're drawing at 1 minute. For those who aren't aware, Darren is a former guest of the show. He's exhibiting at Hampton Court Palace Flower Show this year, and also in Chelsea, I believe, as well. So he's a hands-on, hands-off kind of a fella, a bit like myself. You're leaning at this stage of the game as an individual very much only to the design side of it.
Yes, but I did train in the Botanic Gardens, which is a plants place. So I would know my plants. And what I'm saying is that a lot of gardeners now don't know their plants. So if you don't know the plants that are going into the garden, it's very difficult to maintain them properly. So I think people have to either reduce the range of stuff they're using or have it slightly more simplified for the client. The client can learn then more and upgrade their own education and then their own ability to maintain it. But if you create something that's too complicated at the start, it won't be maintained.
We've got Chelsea on the horizon. We're on the way over. I believe Anne-Marie Powell, the woman who isn't going to marry me, also building in Chelsea this year, is staying in Shea Paul, as we're now calling it.
From time to time. We haven't agreed the rental rates just yet, but I'm hoping that involves a bottle of champagne. As long as she doesn't swing out of the chandelier, I don't mind.
I've upgraded, folks. I've upgraded and I'm moving on. But apparently, I'm sleeping on a couch with Brian Green.
Well, whatever the two of you are up to, I don't mind. As long as it doesn't involve our plants, you can do whatever you want.
Right, that's a sod show first. There you go. And of course, I'm not going to bother editing that out at all. I'm only joking. In Ireland, we have Bloom obviously happening, where the two of us both exhibited to you a lot more than I did. We've also got Bloom Fringe on the way. You've also got the likes of Cara Daly down in Waterford Institute of Technology. For those coming through the education system, we're about to see, I guess, something a little bit new and different and special happening at Chelsea this year. One part of that, obviously, is yourself, the one that we will be keeping our eye on alongside Anne-Marie and Darren and co. For those coming through the HORT system, what would you be inclined to say, Paul? What's the route? Is it a case of that, look, get yourself into a show garden as early as possible? Is it a case of learn your plants well? Is it a case of listen to your lecture? What do you do? And then on the other hand, you've got the Bloom Fringe guys who are just going out there and making it green. But God almighty, they're making it happen. There is no such thing as I can't do or it can't be done.
Absolutely, yeah. Bloom Fringe is, without a shadow of a doubt, they're doing an unbelievable job. And they're going in on the sidelines. They're promoting it to a new audience. So they're doing what should be done, really. And Marion and the team there are doing a fabulous job in that regard. As regards, say, younger gardeners or younger designers in Ireland, if they want to go to, say, one of the shows, it might be an idea perhaps in their first year or two to volunteer to be on one of the show gardens, whether it's mine or Jeremy Gavin's or Andy Sturgeon's or whoever. At least they'll get practice and they'll see the pressure that's involved. So I think that that's an idea for them.
Would you recommend that anybody going through the college system hits it at 17, 18 years of age, let's say, or irrespective of how you're starting late into the career, but essentially the year one college or before you even get to college, get in, just volunteer, go through the list and say, how you doing? I will help you 4, 8, 10 hours a day doing whatever needs to be done, building a show garden.
Because what you're trying to do really over that time is you're trying to perfect your eye. And your eye at show gardens, because the standard is so high, whether it's Hampton Court or Chelsea, you learn so, so much. And if you're in at the build, you're seeing how the stuff is made, you see how the pools are made, the trellis work, etc., etc. You can go to the show later on when it's finished, but you'll not really see how the, you know, the box was put together. Yeah. And I think that's quite important to see. The plants, from an RHS point of view, the points are on the plants. So you have to know your plants. And again, it's an education. Certain areas, say at the front of our garden, will, okay, we may have multi-stem trees, but the planting at the front will have sunnier areas, partial shade, and then as you move back, it'll be more shade. So the planting that we have to do actually has to match exactly the sun, the shade, the damp, etc., that's in that area. And you will be marked down if it's not done properly. So that is education in plants.
Have you ever been criticised at a show garden? You've built by a... in my case, it's been, you know, don't get me wrong, you get 100,000 people walking through a gate, you're going to get compliments and you're going to get the opposite. It happens. Have you ever got one? Do you take that kind of stuff personally?
We don't really get any criticism, to be fair, from the public, because I think if you do a job that looks quite smart, normally people are very appreciative of it. From the judges, you will always get criticism as regards how your marks were given to you. But it will be constructive criticism, and they'll say the reason that you fell down on, say, from a gold to a silver gilt is because, for example, when we did Hampton Court the last time, we had hostas close to the edge of a fountain, and then back from that we had lavender. So although we did win gold for the garden, we would have lost points for that mark. I would have said that the water splashing on the pool hit the hosta, and the hosta was quite content with that. They would have said the lavender was too close to the hosta. So it just depends on how precise you are, and the judging at the RHS shows is precise, and that's why people want those medals, because they're hard to get.
And that's the key to it, though. A lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, but for those who are not show garden builders, and again, I'll take that kind of student leaf, bad pun, but I'll take that student kind of idea and say, listen, you really got to get in. They are not real gardens in any way whatsoever. It is a stage built for one weekend. It was one of your gardens in particular. This is the garden, I should add, where you had your own named bottle water bottles. For those who aren't aware, right, so year one in Bloom, and I kind of was new to this. I knew how to build gardens, but not show gardens. It had never really been done. I didn't have that show garden building experience. I knew how to build gardens. I had a rough idea how to build show gardens, but it was the finishing touches. So I walk out of my show garden and I go to yours, and mine, I didn't know you had to rope it off. And we basically had a better variation of twine, a thicker variation, about thumb width, and a let's say quarter inch by 1 inch width. You had solid 3 inch squared routered edge timber with boat rope going through it, and that was fine. So year two, I matched you, and I kind of said, right, I'll get them. I walk around the corner. You've got little silver knobs on the outer of yours, and the rope was running through that, and I thought... I just thought to myself, bastard, he's after doing it again. And you called me into the garden, and when I went in, you handed me a bottle of water, and on the back of it is your photograph, your name, your address, and your website. And I thought, bastard, he's done it. He's done it 2 years running. But you pay a huge emphasis on the finishing touches, and it is what gets you gold consistently and slightly irates me in a nice way.
Well, to be fair on the water, because I actually had dinner with a friend last night who had a restaurant, she bought me a present of the water and got it all monogrammed and printed. So all those crates of water came as a present from Susan. So she knew I was into the detail, but she bought me all that.
But that garden had three main arches running through it, if I remember correctly. Your takedown on that was within seconds, because they were built out of what?
The walls were built out of polystyrene. And so they were built off-site. They were taken and then they were rendered on-site. And since then, actually, that garden, which was sponsored by Pfizer, that garden has now been rebuilt in Carlow, in the Delta Centre. And they didn't have the money to take the garden from Bloom. They actually emailed me to say, could they use elements of it and copy the plan? And I said, no. I'd go down and see the space they had, and I redesigned it to fit what we had. And Dennis O'Brien actually funded the garden to be built, and the students that are there planted the whole garden. I positioned the plants, but they planted all the garden, so that was completely planted by the students there.
Okay, listen, we're going to pause for a wee little cup of coffee in radio podcast land. what do I say? That's part one over. So myself and Paul are going to reconvene, and we should note them as well. But City North Hotel, I'll stick their website details. I don't know, do we have them to hand here? They came in with coffee here. What have we got? City North Hotel. No, we don't. Oh, hold on. Yeah, City North Hotel or citynorthhotel.com, based in Gormanstown, County Mead. They've been more than kind to us in giving us, what do you call it, conference facilities? Conference facilities. We're moving up, Mark. When we interviewed James Wong, it was the top elevator shaft of a hotel in Cork with a couple of pints of Guinness. We've moved to coffee. In the meantime, Brian, it's back to you in the studio. Everybody else, sideshow.com, at sideshow on Twitter. We'll see you next Friday for part two, Coffee Time. Thanks, Paul.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Peter. More of that next week in part two. Stay tuned for that. And we'll be back with you here on Dublin City FM next Friday at 3 p.m. at Sodshow on Twitter if you want to get in touch quickly. And we're just going to play out with a song. Yesterday, we sadly heard of the death of the rock musician Prince, and find it fitting to maybe play out with a song of his. And this is When the Doves Cry. Yes, I said When the Doves Cry, not When the Dubs Cry, because that'll be on Sunday night when they're beaten by Kerry. See you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.